Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
The desert sand, no shoes upon her feet. Her dark skin glows in the burning desert heat. She's wild and she's free, and everybody knows the legend of the lovely desert rose. Many ago, at the age of 23, a handsome young man worked for a mining company. On a survey line where the stunted wattle rose, and was there he met the lovely desert rose. Desert Rose, can you hear me call your name? Desert Rose, day or night, it's still the same. Oh, I'll be back when the willy willy blows, searching for my lovely Desert Rose. The setting sun sank low, and he lit the tilly lamp. Like a proud desert queen, she walked into his camp. Not a sound passed her lips, but before the morning came, his dreams, yeah, would never be the same. They shared the whole 3 weeks in the desert long ago. Then her sad eyes had told him it was time for her to go. Then she left his camp, but she never said goodbye. Just faded in the golden Tanami. Desert Rose, can you hear me call your name? Desert Rose, day or night, it's still the same.
Yeah, to Daily Mom, welcome back to your daily program here, National Talk Black.
Butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember.
Hey, Mom, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black. Trevor, Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Daily Mob, welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor, Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, a new book, Terra Glossia, Reclaims the Language, Country and Culture, award-winning author and University of South Australia academic Dr. Deborah Dank has unveiled her latest work, Terra Glossia, a powerful response to colonial oppression that invites all Australians to reimagine how we engage with the world's oldest living culture. Look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn with Dr. Deborah Dank, award-winning author and, like I said, University of South Australia academic. Have her on the line. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Is that you?
This is Trevor. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm Deb. I'm really happy to be chatting with you today.
Deb, thank you very much. So, Deborah Dank, who's Deborah Dank? Where do you stem from, Deborah, please?
I'm from the Barkly Tablelands in the Northern Territory. I'm Gurangi Wakaya and Kalkaroon. So across into Queensland area now, around Camarwell and Mount Isa.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you, my sister. Yeah. Big shout out to you, Mob. And I'm a Murray from the Curry, so just down the road, Clon Curry, so we're connected, my sister. Good to be yarning with you. And look, congratulations on your new book, Terra Glossia, Reclaims Language, Country and Culture. So we're talking about a powerful response of colonial oppression. So it invites all Australians to reimagine how we engage with world's oldest living culture. So give us a background regarding the new book, Terra Glossia, please, Deborah.
Thank you. I've been a school teacher for 40 years, and I've always watched our kids, our mob, really struggle in classrooms for no reason at all, other than this crazy thing that we have to communicate through now. And English is a language that literally grew on the other side of the world, or a community on the other side of the world. It did not grow here.
Sure.
So, you know, we've always been trying to squeeze ourselves into this new language now that has been, has been introduced here. So I just thought it was about time to remind people that add all of those big philosophic ideas here before the arrival of Captain Cook. And there is very little that we did not have here.
And that has seemed to be forgotten, hasn't it, Deborah?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're even told these really strange things that are based on a particular kind of thinking. We're told, for example, that Aboriginal people didn't have a writing system. And that is based on the fact that we did not write in the way that people who utilise the English language write, but our ways of writing have been repositioned and been described now as art. But we had all of those rock paintings and carvings and bark and sand work and woodwork, and they all told stories and they all recorded in the way that was useful and important for us. So, the values that are that impact the way we use language have told us that we don't do things the right way. That's not the case at all. We've done things absolutely the right way,
yes,
the way that has worked for us.
Well, and you're talking about, like I said, 60,000 years, here we are, First Nations, and that should not be forgotten. Like, we're talking about our languages coming back through schools, so to speak. We are storytellers, so we use our music, our art, to tell those stories. Always was, always will be, we're not going nowhere. And Deborah's is so important to keep the focus there, you could say.
Absolutely. We do not have to squeeze ourselves into the definitions of the Western world, because we are not peoples of the Western world. We are functioning within a lot of the definitions and a lot of the frameworks now, and we do that very well.
Yes.
But we don't have to do that. By making the English language start to actually become more Australian, we can make that language kinder to us and be inclusive of us. And that's why I formulated that word Terra Glossia, because Terra Glossia is absolutely representative of how us mob think and see and feel and hear when we're on country. You know, we hear all of those other non-human voices. And
look, playing with words, looking at the title of your book there, Deborah, Terra Glossa, when you think of the word terra, we think of terra nullis. Is there a connection as such?
Yes, absolutely. It's the idea of terra nullius. Again, it invisibilizes, it disregards, it ignores all of 60,000 years and more of knowing and our ways. And so Terra Glossia is that reminder that these things are here and they are present. So
yep.
Terra, land, glossia, voice or speak.
Okay.
And it's in direct response to terra nullius. This is not ever an empty, no man's land. It was always occupied by a whole range of people and entities who existed through very strong and very structured relationships. We didn't operate through any airy-fairy kind of thing.
Yes.
It was too hard to live here if we didn't follow the law.
Yeah, beautiful.
That's hopefully what, you know, Terra Glossia kind of starts to remind us of.
And with the book, new book is out now, so people can pick that up. What's next on the cards for you, Dr. Deborah Dank?
I have another book that will probably be coming out in November.
Okay.
And it's more along the lines of the first one, along the lines of We Come With This Place. But it talks about my dad's four siblings being stolen.
Yes.
And as people, as a family left behind, what does that mean for us? And, you know, just sort of navigating that kind of loss.
So we're talking truth-telling, are we not, Deborah?
Absolutely.
The history is history. Good or bad, black or white, the history is history.
The history is the history. Mm-hmm. And the big thing that always troubles me, Trevor, is that when we talk about the stolen generations, when we talk about truth-telling, when we talk about, you know, closing the gap, Aboriginal people are always the subject.
Sure.
We did not steal our children, and we did not steal our land, and we did not take the language away, and we did not create all of those conditions within closing the gap.
And you hear phrases, Deborah, in regard to a broken record. We need to build a bridge. We need to get over it.
Yes.
But if you're not accepting it, we've got to keep talking it.
We as a nation, Australia, has to take responsibility. This is not an Aboriginal problem. This is not an Aboriginal history. This is Australian history. Yeah. And the longer we ignore it, well, I think the louder our voices will become, because it's too important, because we deserve
to ignore it.
That respect,
yes.
at least, you know. So, yeah.
And whether it be song, dance or books. We'll tell
That's
the story.
Right.
We'll tell the story, won't we, Deborah?
We will indeed, because as you say, you know, we are storytellers and we've always been telling stories, and we will continue to tell those stories using what resources we have access to. So it's an important practice within our mob. And
fantastic. So Terra Glossia is out and about. So yes, you mob, you can pick up this deadly new book. Thanks to Dr. Deborah Dank, award-winning author and University of South Australia academic. Quickly before I let you go, Deborah, academic, in what area, what studies were you upon you?
I am a semiotician, so I look at what messages are contained before the words come.
Okay.
I'm really interested in how communities make meaning before the decisions to make what we say.
And then put the words to it before it comes out.
Yeah,
I would think, yes, beautiful. Yeah. Well, thank you for your yarn and all the best to you, Kalkadoon woman, too deadly. We'll yarn soon. And thank you for your yarn and congratulations with your new book, Terra Glossia. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All the best, sister. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there, and that's Dr. Deborah Dank, award-winning author for her new book, Terra Glossia, Reclaims Language, Country and Culture, and award-winning author, Dr. Deborah Dank, University of South Australia academic, and unveiled her latest work, the deadly book, Terra Glossia, A Powerful Response to Colonial Oppression, that invites all Australians to reimagine how we engage with the world's oldest living culture. So a very powerful book, and like I said, we are storytellers. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. And look, with that, thank you very much. I want to give a big shout-out to FNMA, our First Nation Media Association, after having the three-day conference up in Darwin last week. I was lucky enough to join the BBM crew and with senior broadcaster Matty Motlop to pick up the award-winning trophy for our current affair program we do here on National Talk Black. So we won the award for national delivery of our daily program, National Talk Black. It is your program. We just drive it. That's all we do. But team effort. It's a big shout out to the BBM crew, management, directors, and the team. Thank you very much. Also, big shout out to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, put us across the airways. Thank you for your support for this program, which I've been co-hosting for the last 11 odd years. So don't mind any yarn. Fantastic. A voice for our people. Like I said, 21st century, but we still listen to the wireless. Also, a big shout out to NIAA, funding arm, and also CBF, Community Broadcast Foundation. There's the team effort, and it's about getting our voices heard and using this vehicle, a radio, National Talk Black, as the vehicle to do so. So stay tuned. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call. Otherwise, text to brother 0457-140-550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. And Yarn Up Strong here, you mob, with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host of your daily program, National Talk Black. Likes to be live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidindji country, BBM 98.7 FM. National Talk Black. This yarn, you mob, too deadly.
Been stumbling almost by myself at night, telling the streetlights that I'm doing fine. Those empty bottles laying by my bed tell me I'm getting pretty good at this. Lately, whiskey's going down faster than it used to do. So give me one more round. The last thing she said spins like a carousel inside my head. That hangover, it only makes it worse. Tells me that I'm not really over her. Lately, whiskey's going down faster than it used to do. So give me one more round.
Try and get up off the ground. We can stand up and show you the way. Let us stand together and walk down this road. If we work together, we can get rid of this load. Take my hand and walk beside me. Let's take away the blues. We will break down the walls and see it through. Life, something comes along when they can feel that they don't belong. When you're feeling down, remember you're not alone. Just be with your friends, you'll always feel at home. Let us stand together.
Yeah, to Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev Murray from Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, Wanyadindji country, BBM Bummerbib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Oh, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Dean Stewart, who's a volunteer artist, and the work that he does and helping youth here in the beautiful city of Cairns, Gimoy. And a very good morning, my brother. How are you, Dean?
Not too bad, yourself?
Yeah, very good. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who you mob. Where are you from, bro?
Yarrindjeri people raised me. I grew up in Gordonvale, been here 29 years.
Yes.
Basically, just on the walkabout mission to find out my connection to country. And, documents been in Brisbane for 30 years, so find out that I'm Takalaka. Mm.
Good. So finding your mob, brother, very, very important. And message to all our mob out there, know your connections. That gives you a branding, give you a foundation. So, Dean Stewart, tell me your thoughts, tell me your love for art and for helping youth as well, brother.
Went on a walkabout mission to Brisbane, my dad's Pākehā, Māori, and mum was a part of the Stolen Generation.
Yes.
Got my tribal tomoko and just keeping the fire burning, you know, with the art and come back here to country. Bama Gimoy Yirrindji land, so
beautiful.
Yeah, people of the land, and yeah, just trying to curb the graffiti around the area for the youth and change their perspective. They can become a beautiful artist, you know, graffiti artist and whatnot. And I think Cairns Regional Council needs to come on board and create a safe space for them, you know, young pickaninnies. And put a wall up in most of the parks there, whether they want to monitor it with security cameras and them kind of things, so they don't, you know.
Give them a safe space.
Yeah, and, you know, there's already programs where they got to go around and clean up all the graffiti and stuff for their, you know, community service hours. So how about the Cairns Regional Council come on board and create them a wall in some of the parks there, and every 6 months go back and repaint it, make a clean canvas.
Great concept. And so when you look at the graffiti art, look, sometimes damaging to property and what have you, but outside that, you look at some of the art, some beautiful art, and there's stories to be told.
Yeah. Basically, because, you know, they don't understand LORE and they're getting punished by LAW, so, you know.
Okay, nice what it said. Yeah, brother.
Yeah, basically, land origin, respect elders, you know, and basically, legalities of Westminster, Attorney Westminster is punishing them, and I don't think it's right, in my opinion. They should be have an area to express themselves and elevate their art and their crafts.
Well, exactly, brother. And when we're talking art is art, you know, stories to be told, and like some deadly art. But we're talking about all ages as well, you know. So humans, we need to express ourselves. Some use it by dance, some use it by song, some use it by just getting fit or whatever the case may be. But when we're talking graffiti, it is an art, you know. But need a space to do so. So then it may not push people to go do it on trains or walls or cars or whatever the case may be.
Yeah,
give us the space.
My last trade was a tree lopper, so I do dot paintings on clapsticks, coolamons, shields, and even canvas. So, you know, basically trying to extend my avenue on what I can put dots on.
yeah, exactly, brother. Exactly. So how long you been doing art, brother?
I've been doing art since around middle of last year, and I'm finding other avenues to be able to sell my art to, like I'm going to the markets, but them, what do you call it? What's that thing?
I just think we just had the KIAF, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair.
Yeah.
Did you have any affiliation there?
No, or do you have an
art store that you can latch on to share your work?
Basically, I got told about Yumi Arts over there in Manura.
Yep.
And, Karanda Amphitheatre. But okay. I've been doing some research into the local Sunday markets and that. But,
all right.
You know, that public liability sort of, you got to have that insurance cover to be able to cover yourself when you're making an art stall and holder. So
it's worth a conversation having a yarn to the art places, as you mentioned, Yumi Arts and what have you. There are avenues that you can operate safely in, and becomes a platform for you to sell your wares and business opportunities.
And, yeah, there is Indigenous organisations out there
exactly,
that support young individuals if they've got talent and they want to express themselves. I think, everyone should get on board on this initiative and basically just curb the destruction of property in all areas, whether it be Cairns, Brisbane, Sydney, and like you said, trains getting destroyed and stuff. So it's just them, they don't have a space to be able to express themselves. And, you know, I understand their pain, which is Maori is mamai. And, when they tag on a wall, it makes them feel good because they see their name there, and then they stand back and be like, oh, look, that's my name there. Like,
existence, present. Yep, fantastic, brother. And how did you hear about National Talk Black? You were informed to come and have a chat, have a yarn.
Yeah, I just got told by an uncle there over at Amaru Elders just to come and have a chat with you because you're a counsellor as well. So
that's right, brother.
Yeah, I'll just drop in, come for a walk
and have a yarn. And more power to you, brother. Hats off to you and reaching out and using this microphone as a tool to tell your story and share it. And like I said, we're in the 21st century, but people still listen to the wireless. So it's a good yarn having yarn on radio.
Yeah.
And so thank you very much for sharing, Dean Stewart. So you're based here in Cairns, aren't you?
Yeah.
You live here in Cairns, brother. And so your artwork, where do you do that from?
I do it at home, mostly. Yep. But, Amaru provides a safe space for me to continue doing art in an air-conditioned environment. But, maybe them youth need that sort of outlet
space
as well,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing. Big shout-out to the Amaru Elders. Thank you very much for the yarn. Please do keep in touch, Dean. And look, great concept and ideas that you're talking about there, getting a space for graffiti to happen. And thank you for your yarn. And you did request Chris Phillips, My People, My People. So let's go to that Deli track, brother.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
To Deli, brother.
My people, Aboriginal people, don't forget what we're fighting for. We Aboriginal people of this land. Custodians, my people, my people.
Folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Time. This is who we are. This is our story. This is our culture. This is who we are. So don't give in and don't give up. Never forget. We are, we are, we are, we are. We are one big family. We are, we are, we are, we are. We are one big family. Ngari, Pura, Koyo, Wamon, Pala, Kamara, Pangare, Angare, Arja, Pelanja, Kota, Bele, Gelabo. We are, we are, we are, we are. We are one big family. We are, we are, we are, we are. We are one big family. So listen up, don't give up. This is us, this is who we are. This is our story, this is our culture. This is who we are. So don't give in and don't give up.
Yeah, big shout out to the family. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News National Radio Service. Let's look at news headlines here. Our new national commissioner appointed amid worsening outcomes for Indigenous children. So the government has appointed a new national commissioner for Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander children and young people as national targets to reduce child removal and youth detention continuing to slide backwards. Adjunct Professor Sue Ann Hunter, Wudjeri and Ngari Ulun Wurrung woman, will start in the role later this year. She replaces Little Gordon, who has served in an acting capacity since January. The appointment follows recent data from the Productivity Commission that shows Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children remain more than 10 times more likely to be out of home care and 27 times more likely to be in youth detention than non-Indigenous children. Target 12 of the National Closing the Gap Agreement, which aims to reduce overrepresentation in out-of-home care, is also not on track and is worsening. Youth detention targets backsliding. Independent Senator Lydia Thorpe has warned Australia is at risk of losing another generation of First Nations people to the criminal justice system without urgent action from all levels of government. Nationally, just four out of the 19 targets are on track to be met by the deadline of 2031. Ms. Hunter brings more than two decades of experience in child and family services, including frontline work and senior roles at the Victorian Aboriginal Child Care Agency and SNAKE, National Voice for Our Children. She also served as Deputy Chair of the Uruk Commission, Justice Commission, after a career working in criminal justice and with young people people. She described the new role as a lifetime's work rather than a job. I'm honoured to accept this appointment as Australia's inaugural Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Children and Young People's Commissioner, with the responsibility to ensure our children are working to protect wellbeing rights and interests of children and young people, she said. I recognise that we are at risk of losing another generational two systems that fail them to remove out-of-home care detention and a bleak future. The new role will involve the Commissioner hearing directly from Indigenous people and advocating for their rights. She has, she said those children face a lot of risk. The worst is urgent and the statistics are grim, but our children are not statistics. They are our future, she said. This role will elevate their voices and their concerns. They will be at the centre of everything I do. Fantastic. Congratulations there, sister, on that deadly appointment. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong. Yarn with the Bully One here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM, Bummerbrip Media, 98.7 FM. Now, Literacy for Life Foundation, Aboriginal-led adult literacy charity. They are Aboriginal-run charity, training Aboriginal people to bring literacy to their communities. More than 40% of Aboriginal adults have low literacy in remote areas. The figure can be as high as 70%. They use an innovative evidence-based campaign approach that has helped millions around the world and is delivering results here in Australia. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Jodie Wallace, Literacy for Life Foundation and Campaign Coordinator in Mossman. And we have Jodie on the line. Jodie, good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. Yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob were you from, please.
Yes, will do.
Yeah, go ahead, sis.
Good morning. My name's Jodie Wallace, and I'm with Mossman Literacy for Life. And we're actually currently starting our new campaign, the Indigenous Adult Literacy Campaign. We are also funded by the Skills for Education and Employment. Our First Nations program is funded by the Australian Government Department of Employment and Workplace Relations.
Thank you very much, Sister. When you look at the numbers, it's very sad, very high. More than 40% of Aboriginal adults have low literacy, especially in remote areas, and these figures can be as high as 70%. So here we are in the 21st century, here we are in a first world country. This is very sad, these numbers.
Yes, but we've got a milestone now, so hopefully we can complete that gap and, bring all our bummer together to do everyday literacy.
Mm.
It was designed by the local community and by our students. And we also have a range of learning in real-life content, such as our culture and language.
Yes.
Also song and story writing, but this also helps with health and nutrition.
Mm.
So, you know, it helps in different all aspects of everyday living.
Beautiful, fantastic. So how long has the campaign been running for, Jodie?
We've just, one day actually, we've just
okay, congratulations.
Officially started here in Mossman.
Yes.
We're very excited. Previously, the first one in Queensland's been running in Yarrabah for the last 5 years.
Lovely.
So, yes, we'd really love to achieve our group here in Mossman as well.
Fantastic. Well, we should be templating across the country. When you look at those numbers, we need to provide the service and educate our mob. It is a team effort, isn't it, Jodie?
Yes, it sure is. And this Literacy for Life Foundation, it was established in Cuba in 1961.
Mm.
So, and it was founded by Uncle Jack Beetson.
Okay.
Who brought it back to Australia for all our bummer to learn?
Yes.
And anyone over 15 and out of school who wants to improve their reading and writing skills are more than welcome to join us.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, thank you very much for sharing. Big shout out to the Literacy for Life Foundation. A very fantastic campaign. Keep doing what you're doing. Big shout out to your team and big shout out to a beautiful mob out there. Let's get educated. Thank you, sister. All the best to you, Jodie.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
See you, sis. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly Yarn there. That's Jody Wallace, her name is, Literacy for Life Foundation, campaign coordinator in Mossman. And we're talking about the Literacy for Life Foundation, Aboriginal-led adult literacy charity. So it is fantastic, but looking at those yucky numbers, more than 40% of Aboriginal adults have low literacy in remote areas, and the figure can be as high as 70%. And as I said, first world country, 21st century, here we are, 2025, and people are at those sort of numbers. This is ridiculous, so we need to get it together. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, that deadly number, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk. We've got a caller on the line. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning.
Hello. Who's calling?
Michael.
Michelangelo. Yes, my brother. I thought it was you. How are you? Good morning to you.
Hey, are you Trevor?
Yeah, don't mock. A proper good, my brother. Let the mob know. Who your mob, where you from, please, Michael?
Like I said, like Tagai in the universe.
Yes.
You know, we Universal Warriors.
We are.
Yeah, Universal Warriors, brother.
Too deadly, my brother, too deadly. Brothers,
like that warrior, they ride the canoe in the sky.
Yeah, true, my brother. Brother, look, when I make yarn for you, look, I think of straight away, big brother Sam Bacco, look, with us in spirit, lost Sam, and you shared the football field with him numerous times, my brother.
Oh, yeah, we, you know, knock around together in Cairns.
Yes.
And grow up, you know, like you come home from boarding school and Evelyn looking, and mother looking after us. At
Dr. Kuyum Evelyn, Hostel. Yes, with us in spirit. Yeah, yeah, brother, we look grew after you. They were Kuyum Hostel, exactly.
Yeah, so we all grew up together. And, gonna miss him, but.
Yeah, so true, brother.
Big time, man.
Yeah.
And brother go like, well, let him be there with Woggy now.
Wow, wow, wow. Exactly. Yep, him and Woggy. Exactly.
As I say, Universal Warriors.
Yeah,
and
beautiful.
The Woggy there, cruise now.
Good description. Thank you, brother. Them two cruise. Wow, exactly.
Yeah, cruise across the universe. That's where we're going.
Yeah, brother. You know? Mm, so true.
Like they're saying people coming from the universe.
Mm.
Well, that's our ancestors.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we come from.
Exactly.
On the other side of the Milky Way there.
Yeah, brother.
That's right. Tagai there, that warrior in the sky. Riding the canoe,
we call him
Tagai.
Tagai,
yeah.
Yep.
Tagai, yeah. And come out summertime.
Mm.
And that's the time for trade, time for harvest, some kind of thing, you know?
Exactly.
And when them come out and reach out to grab the Southern Cross, that's them bow and arrow.
Yeah.
So.
See, Dreamtime story, brother. They're so real, aren't they? They're strong for our people.
Yeah. I don't worry because I know them two Woggy there now.
Mm.
They all cruising there.
Mm.
Across the universe. That's where we're all going.
Yeah.
You know, travel across the universe to catch up.
Mm.
Either we catch up with our family or they come
continue
back.
That journey on the other side, eh, Bala Michael?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of dimensions, you know.
Mm.
You know, people experience it. I've experienced it, you know, traveling through the dimensions. It's real.
Yep.
Everything is real. Because every time you look in the mirror, it's real.
Yep, thank you.
Everything's real.
Yeah.
The universe real. All the Manchester's coming back soon.
Mm.
Yeah. They're all finding stuff.
We have our war here on this country here now, in today's society, but, yeah, like I said, the journey continues.
Like I said the other day, we got to, you know, we've got to take over the mining companies, you know, kick out all the mob and take over our mineral rights. We want our gold back. We want our diamond back. We want everything back because that's part of the compensation.
Well, everything that's on the land, in the land, belongs to the people of the land.
Yeah, that's what land rights all about.
Yeah, bro.
You know?
Okay.
That's what it's all about. Pay the rent.
Yeah.
We own all that gold. We own Eureka. That's our gold.
Yeah, brother. Yep.
We want it back. It's all stacked up high, hidden in this country. You know, all the diamonds and everything.
And they're making millions out of it, and black men here still struggle.
Yeah, still trying to scrape the dollar to buy food, you know. To buy bread and milk.
Yeah.
And sometimes you could go without.
Yep. You know. My brother, you shed light on it. So thank you, my brother. I've got to head off, my brother. Big shout out. Thank you very much for your company, Bob. Stay tuned for the news, National News Radio Service, your daily program, National Talk Black.
Downstairs streets,